And really nice to have you all along. Does anyone want to say how they're going? Just share how they're going, because guaranteed someone else is going in a similar way to you. So,
I've cracked 10,000, so I'm under 100,000 now to go, so, which is really good. So I'm really happy with that. So it doesn't seem, and I've done a spreadsheet. So as I put my numbers in, it just gives me the countdown as I'm going. Not that I'm number focused, but I need to see a little bit of progress, you know.
Francesca, when it comes time to offer our nongdrows, then you'll have to offer a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I had a manual calendar, and then I thought, how am I going to keep track of this in hospital? So, but I'm just going to do it as a, I'll do a lovely letter like I did last time, and just do the one number.
Fantastic. How are Steve and Anne going? There you are in Canberra. How are you feeling about the whole practice? How's your energy been?
We try hard. We try and set ourselves like 3 times a day where we actually do matches. But with appointments and stuff that we have to go to, it goes off. We're just not keeping the goal that we set ourselves at the moment. So we're hoping to take off in about 3 weeks and go bush for a while and see if we can bring it back on track into a routine.
Yeah. Remember, like the routine and the aspiration is there to motivate us, so to give us some energy, and then how we actually get to do it will go up and down, and that's natural. And so that's when you remember your intention's still there, things are fluctuating, and then Geshe-la said, don't fixate on the numbers.
Yeah, we tend to be like we don't like doing it when we're out and about. We like to do the full sitting down, doing it all. So unless we're able to do that, it tends to not happen if we're out and about during the
Yeah.
day. So yeah.
Yeah, good. Fantastic. So that means you're having some really nice in-depth meditations. I think Francesca's like that too, of having to do do a proper sitting practice. So that's great to hear.
Yeah, I mean, well, like you say, Miffy, certainly for me, practice has been up and down. And sometimes I get, a bit fixated about numbers. That's just really not helpful. Yeah, sometimes. Sort of, I practice when I'm out and about the mantras. It's at the same time I don't feel that I'm giving it 100%. It's much better when I've got, I'm actually at home in my space, with everything, and I can just focus 100%.
I understand it. So I get a lot of mantras done when I'm out and about, which is great, but it's not 100%. At least there's the aspiration there to have the much more focused kind of meditation at home. But I think part of how we're going with this fluctuating up and down is learning how to be okay, be stable in amongst all the fluctuations. It was something that Venerable Gendun, said that really struck with me just recently on his weekend teachings about the whole thing, like of calm abiding and Maha Mudra and all of these, is to be able to sit and be with what's happening without having to change it. And that's really amazing. So here we are, we've got this massive aspiration, which is fantastic. We've got to have this aspiration, the bodhicitta intention. That's why we're living our life and why we put in all the energy. But at the same time, the results of it, when our energy goes up and down, we can learn to sit with and accept without having to change them. And we get to do it like on the fly, in real time, instead of kind of studying about it. Because I think with all of us, our energy's been going up and down and up and down. It's like each time we get a chance to practice just sitting with it without being reactive. So in that way, then you could think, great, it's all the practice. And really, part of that is letting go of like our worldly concerns or worldly expectations of success and progress and all of those things. It takes it deeper so that we're not kind of hankering after the sugar rush of it, but we're in there for the long term. And so being able to sit even when your energy's, down, and not have it disturb you, that's something that we need in everything in our practice. I think it's all part of the process. So thank you, Kelly, because I really relate.
So I like to do them when I'm walking, I think, because at the moment in my job and my studies, I'm doing a lot of sitting. So for me, it's all about walking and that purifying. And I like try to imagine like gunk leaking out of my feet, almost like that. And I like to do the Vajrasattva when I'm cleaning the house and having a shower. But my mantra count is quite down. I'm probably only at about 9,000. But that's okay. I'm just going with it. Yeah.
Yep. And marrying Vajrasattva to any form of cleaning is fantastic. Because I think I said before, there is no inherent virtue in cleanliness, unlike what some of us might have been brought up. But because we do have to keep clean if we want to survive in the world, we can turn it into Dharma. So that's fantastic that you're doing that. Because we all get an urge to, oh my God, I've just got to tidy my room, or I really have to do the dishes or clean the house. We all get this urge eventually. Even I get it eventually. Though it was my washing the dishes day did blow out to 2 weeks. Usually I wash the dishes on a Monday, but one whole Monday went round and nothing happened. And I was like, really had to get myself in hand. But anyway, so then when you have that urge, don't just leave it on the, oh great, I've cleaned the house, I feel so much better. It's got to be, you've got to marry Dharma to it. So that is excellent that you're doing that, Ella. I don't count the ones that I do on the fly like that. I do them and I kind of think that if they're really good quality, then they will count for when I'm saying my mantras, counting them and they're bad quality. It's just the way I think about it. But if I can't physically count them like with my hands, then I don't count them, but I do still say them.
Well, I'm finding the discussion very helpful because I think I have got much more comfortable with only sometimes, doing the minimum. Well, not, maybe 21. The numbers have crept up, but I'm like Ella, I like to do it walking. So, and I've even worked out a route where I can do 1 mala. So it's, I know.
Fantastic.
So no, it's nice. But it is helpful to know that, that this is all okay.
Yeah, because remember Geshe-la did say where it's an open retreat, and so for that then we can do the mantras out and about, but it's really good to always try and have one portion of the day where we do something that's seated if we can.
All I can manage is 21 at night. That's pretty much it. And then yeah, probably from the start. I mean, there was some, I did for a little while do 21 in the morning, then 21 at night. But then the 21 in the morning dropped off. But and then sometimes when I'm driving, I do mantras if I go up to Sunshine Coast to see my mum, or if I'm going to work, I'll do just recite the mantras then. But yeah, I'm just clinging on really.
Yeah, that's okay. That's great. Same thing happened to me. For a while, I was doing 21 in the morning, 21 at night, lots in between, and then the morning ones have dropped off. In fact, the mornings have got more and more tenuous. So, yes, I hear you. And then sometimes the night ones, because I don't have anyone to tell me when to go to bed, I get my second wind and I'm still going at like 2 or 3, and then it's like, oh my God, I have to say my prayers. And then it's like 4. And then at least once a week, I blow out till 5 a.m. and I'm just thinking all the good Buddhists are getting up now. And I'm an errant one and I'm going to bed at the wrong time. But Ella, are you enjoying doing the ones that you're doing? Do you have a
I feel really committed to them. Like I like doing them because I just think it's there's so much that happens goes on in your head during the day, and it's just a really nice way to kind of reset and think, okay, well, or just meditate on, okay, I could have done that better. That wasn't, or I got cranky or whatever. And I think it's a really great way to kind of, I don't know, purify that.
Yeah, without kind of being judgmental and castigating yourself, actually being able to purify it, which is great. It's and then it stops it snowballing. Yeah, fantastic. Very nice. Okay, who else do we have? Dean, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. Yeah, I'm going pretty well. I just got past 60,000. Yes. And I'm listening to people speaking, and I started in the same kind of mindset that I was going to do 21 each night. And I did. That's where I started because Geshe-la said that. He said you could start with 21 just to do the Bodhisattva way, that would satisfy what you had to do as a minimum. But then I figured out that it was going to take 13 years to get to 100,000. And that just wasn't acceptable to me because I might not be around in 13 years. Yeah. So all of a sudden, I realized I had to get cracking. And other people were cranking along there and getting all these big numbers. So I don't focus on the numbers, but I do have a clicker. And I think, yes, it's good to do them perfectly and to be totally isolated and concentrated on it. And it's good to do that first thing in the morning when I wake up, and that's my morning practice. And I read, Lamrim yearbook, and I read one of them each day, and then I do one session through the pocketbook. But then through the day, I'll just be clicking away and saying my mantras and not worrying about counting them because they're getting counted on that. And that's the way to get through it. I get to the point where I most days I can get somewhere over 100, usually around 250. And pretty quickly you start to crank through the numbers, like 10,000 a month.
So you're doing the Lamrim year, you're still doing one reading a day. And
Yeah, which
so how
is
does that tie in
fantastic.
with the saying the mantras?
Well, it ties in beautifully. I don't quite often you'll have a moment of serendipity, just something that you'll read in the yearbook, and it just works really well. When you get through the mantras, you get into the dedication part, and you place your mind into emptiness, and it seems to work really well in that space, in the merit area. Yeah.
Right. I was going to say a bit about
Jersey.
five wisdoms. Maybe next month though, just we can go a little bit into them because they, of course, they're all featured in our visualizations. It's vast and profound. So yeah, Dina, it's going to take a while to get your head around it. It's okay. But the whole thing is that the aggregates that make up, us, a human being, the five aggregates, when they're purified, their nature is the five wisdoms. So we already have them. They're just latent and covered in muck. And so by, purifying, we transform these ordinary aggregates into the actual wisdoms or the components of an enlightened being. Where they're mentioned and where we meditate on them, where we can always recognize them, is all of the tantric Buddhas. They have the Bodhisattva crown with the five jewels. So in the pictures, the five jewels look
Yep.
like they're along the front, but actually, when you imagine them, you can imagine them much more like a standard crown that has, a jewel on each of the four quadrants, like a medieval crown, and then one at the top in the middle. And so those Bodhisattva crowns, the crown usually represents the perfection of concentration. And then those jewels in the crown, they're the five colors, and they're the five colors of the five wisdoms. And so actually, if we can, you imagine the jewels as each of them as a Dhyani Buddha. And so each of the colors around, and then what Geshe Zopa said was actually, and we can do this because we can zoom in our mind's eye, and you think of the Bodhisattva's crown, Vajrasattva's crown, and you zoom into his crown. Say you go to the red jewel where there's Buddha Amitabha. Everything when you look in there, it is Amitabha's Pure Land. So it's an entire universe of Amitabha's Pure Land, and you can think of it's like all with the with tinged with red because of Amitabha, and Amitabha's there as the principle. There's all the beings there are taking teachings there. It's all Mahayana teachings. There's frolicking snow lions and peacocks and everything in the gardens, and they're the Gandharvas and the Bodhisattvas. All of the babbling brooks say the sound of Dharma and recite sutras, and the birds chirrup the Dharma and all sorts of things. So it's an entire Pure Land, and it's all there in the crown. Then you can zoom to the next one, and then you've got, like, say, Amoghas City, and that's green, and that's Buddha Amoghas City is the principle, and the entire Amoghas City universe in there. So when you become enlightened, you're crowned by these wisdoms, literally. Since you asked, Dean. They're not really talked about very much as a specific thing. Certainly, I mean, they're mentioned in the meditations and things. So I did put together a course that is on, it's in the members area, called the Six Wisdom Hats. So even though there's five wisdoms, married with Edward de Bono's six thinking hats, and I had an epiphany where they perfectly match with the wisdoms, the five wisdoms. What I've taken from Edward de Bono is a way, is just a practical day-to-day of working with it and having this attitude, but of the specific wisdoms and attributes of the Buddha families. So it's a really nice way to integrate it. But if you've even just got a slight inkling about it, say of the five wisdoms, then it's like it's a door, it opens it up, and then off you go. You've got a way of relating with it, of how to relate with these, like, elemental wisdoms or elemental forces in your life. So your life becomes less ordinary. Here, Mandy, Mandy's so good to see you. How are you?
Still unwell. Just travelling. Got a specialist appointment the other day, and I've got to go to another specialist because they can't work out what's wrong with me. But in saying that, the practice is keeping me grounded. When I have the cortisol influx into my body through the morning, it helps me come back down, sort of centers me and stops me from having the anxiety and all that coming through. I do enjoy it. It's really good to help. I think it's just I don't do much at the moment. I'm not very well, but it's the practice is amazing. But I'm
It's
getting.
so amazing, Mandy. I really rejoice with your efforts, because so often people experience incredible hardships or get really, really sick, and they drop the Dharma. They run away from the Dharma. They
No, I'm.
no longer come, or they kind of withdraw. And I've just seen what you've been going through and how you haven't done that. You've actually
I've clung
embraced
on
the
to it.
Dharma.
I've clung on to it. I've grabbed it with both hands. I've made the practice to suit my energy levels. I'm only doing the simple version of the Vajrasattva, but I'm still doing the mantras every day, and then I'm doing green Tara practice too to help.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard. I'm hoping to be back to normal soon. But as long as we can get some answers, yeah. So I'm
Yeah.
still here. So if anyone feels like they want to quit, don't. You've got a good reason to keep going. So
Thank
keep
you,
going.
Mandy. That really means a lot. Thank you. I've just been going around the group.
I'm sticking with my 21 a day, trying to. I'm currently in a hotel room at a work conference, so I'm skipping dinner. I think my commitment was not to do the lifetime practice as opposed to count. So, finding it difficult to, I guess, find that space each day, particularly with new routines and challenges. But I'm trying my best. Yeah, sometimes. Not quite to your extreme, Miffy, but we'll get to, like, oh, I'm about to fall asleep. I'm like, damn it, I haven't remembered. But at least I remember before I go to bed. And sometimes there's been a few lying in bed, wait, I've got to get my numbers in. Really looking forward to having these Friday nights as that group check-in as well. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Okay,
it's
good,
good.
good. Fantastic to hear. And well, good on you, because practicing outside of a routine, it takes a lot more energy. So if you're in a hotel room managing to zoom in tonight, fantastic. That Really excellent. Okay.
If I could just make an observation, Miffy, I always shied away from doing long mantras because A, I couldn't remember them, and B, they just took so long. And but the more you do it, the shorter it seems to get. And so when I started doing 35 Buddhas again, I used to think, oh God, here goes half the night, But then I started throwing in my Vajrasattvas with the in the part of the practice where Lama Zopa said you could do it just straight after the medicine Buddha ones, and it actually runs really, really well. So I do another sort of session where I do more mantras if I'm doing the big count. Yeah, but
Mantra.
it just
Yeah.
doesn't seem to be any effort at
Yeah.
all. I went from 21 to 30, now 50, now it's 100, so you just, yeah, it just doesn't seem to be a hardship now, whereas before it seemed very daunting. And then
Well,
I concur with the feeling like the world's against you. The more you purify, the sicker you get. And I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I said, it's you're sort of thinking your own mind that this life I've been a really good person, so why should all this shit be happening to me? But then when I remember I've just got countless lifetimes I've got to purify. It's not just this one. I just had the good fortune to be born in a not so perfect human body, but I had a human rebirth, sort of thing. So if you don't give up, you're right. It's when you just throw the towel
yeah.
in, I think.
And also remember with the purification, even if it's really, really bad now, it's so much better experiencing it now in this human life, especially in this really fortunate one, not just of having incredible medical resources at our disposal, but also the Dharma to get it done now. It's definitely a much shorter suffering because when we're in circumstances like in a different life, say as a human that hasn't met the Dharma, or even as an animal, all we can do really is just endure. But in this life, we can use it, and we can use every single bit of pain and doubt and uncertainty to supercharge our practice. We can use it on the path, and that in itself means that the purification happens much quicker. So what could have been a very long, protracted illness or suffering actually becomes shorter and gets done quicker. Even though it may not feel like it at the time, that is actually what's happening. And similar what you said, Francesca, is what happens a lot of times when people first become ordained as monks or nuns, a similar thing will happen. I think I remember with Venerable Setan, within the first week, maybe, that she was ordained, she fell over during going from Geshe Thachi Sering's teachings and broke both her wrists at the same time. And I was like, get ordained, bam, break both your wrists. And now everybody, when they're looking after you, though, are looking after this newly ordained with perfect, squeaky clean vows person making incredible amounts of merit. The fact that we can do it in this human life really, really counts.
I don't know if you have talked about it before, but you remember I recently asked you in the short Vajrasattva practice, it says, please make the glory of the five wisdoms abide in my heart. And I asked you what we could do for that. And you said, well, you can imagine the rainbow colors in the light. And I've started doing that, and it's just wonderful. It just makes, I don't know why, it just seems to have changed it. It just seems way better what's coming down and purifying. So thank you.
Oh wow. Well,
Yes, I wasn't expecting that.
okay. Because many times it was Geshe Zopa that has said whatever light is coming, whatever color, either like if it's been the white light from Vajrasattva, he said it's like tinged with gold. So it's got this really warm, twinkly feel to it, not like a cold white. But then many times, yeah, it's been whatever color tinged with the five wisdom, the rainbow, tinged with
Yes.
rainbow. So when they say tinged with rainbow, they mean these five wisdoms.
But
Fantastic.
I wanted to do it because just because, that's what they say the meaning of the mantra is. You're asking for that.
Yes, that's right. May the five wisdoms abide in my heart. And
Yeah.
it's a very good question to ask, what does that actually mean? So, because yeah, the five wisdoms is like the whole way that we know the universe as a Buddha. So that's what it means to abide in our heart. It's pretty spectacular.
Well, meanwhile, a bit of rainbow light mixed with the other white light is perfect.
Yeah, that's right, because it's remembering all of that is actually in that light, because Vajrasattva, remember, purifies everything. So by remembering that rainbow, we are purifying all of those aggregates. Yes, Ella.
Sorry, so just to clarify, the five wisdoms are the purified five aggregates.
Yes, that's right. And then Kate has said, hi everyone, I'm doing well at the moment. My dad is feeling better because Kate's been looking after her aging dad. And like Mandy, my practice keeps me going and knowing I have Dharma friends. It's really nice to catch up with you all and see how you're going. I think it's really, really important. And this was something that Venerable Gendun also said that is a main component of his in-depth meditation training, that you do the meditations at home, but you also practice together as a group and support each other as a group. And not only that, but he supports the students as well, so that it's very much a community of meditators. You're not out there on your own. He said something which I found incredibly moving when I was asking about this. He was saying, the students are devoted to the teacher, but actually the teacher has to be even more devoted to the students, to look after the students. I'm like, wow, that is really amazing to hear. And of course, and then you look at people like him and like Geshe Zopa and Geshe Sherpa, they are so res they have such a sense of responsibility for us, so we can feel really looked after like that. All we have to do is just be good students, and they're there to look after us. And then I asked Venerable Gendun, when he does his he records some of his classes, and so how does he, when he's talking to the camera, how does he record, how does he remember people, or does he have a particular demographic in mind? And he said, I recite everybody's names, all of his students. He says his students' names every day. That's like he and so when he's recording his teaching for a video, he's speaking to all of us. It just blew my mind. I was so like, wow. So when we're feeling a little bit down, to know that we are looked after.